Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. We have a special edition of this show for you today, a very special edition, because it's a special week in Denver sports history, to be honest with you. Not just Denver Nuggets history, but Denver sports history, as the Denver Nuggets are back in the Western Conference Finals and squaring off against a familiar foe. To help me go through all of the history and maybe even look ahead to the future, who better than the king himself, the historian of Denver Nuggets basketball, Jeff Morton?
I came on here only to say the king has spoken. So
the king has spoken. Yeah, really? All right, it's going to be definitive tonight. I can't wait for it. And then, of course, the OG, the godfather himself, the big stiff himself, the godfather of Denver sports, digital media, blogging, podcasting, whatever you want to call it, Andy Feinstein.
Mr. Myers, you're way too kind, but it's awesome to be here with both of you guys. And I'm pumped, man. I'm going to the game in a couple hours. And there's nothing better than springtime, and the Nuggets are going past the first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
It's so true. All of Denver Nuggets history takes place in the winter. It's always cold, with few exceptions.
Yes.
And it is one thing about when you make it to the conference finals, the rare times you do, it is 70, 80, 90 degrees, and it's like that's almost one way to notice. Eric, our D-line, one of the founders at DNVR, he has a great take. I used to hate it, but he has a great take that basketball should be a summer sport. And there's financial reasons you can't, but you do wear shorts and a tank top.
Right.
You do wear shorts and a tank top indoors. Do you remember the NBA preseason game that was played outdoors?
For Phoenix Suns? Was it Shaq?
Phoenix Suns, yeah. Lakers. I think it was in Palm Springs or something.
But I remember the court being a little moist, though, is the problem.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
I appreciated the attempt.
Right.
I appreciated the attempt.
You can't have it. But we're going to talk today, you know, obviously looking back at the history of the Nuggets versus the Lakers. I mean, I've long said I don't think the Nuggets will ever win a championship. I said this like 8 years ago.
You stole that from me, by the way.
He's always said
that. It's sort of ingrained in us, I think, just from the history. But I will say, I don't know if I feel that way anymore. I have more optimism. I mean, Nikola Jokic has changed it for me. He's just a different caliber player than anybody that's come through Denver, and he has given me belief. But then I've also said if they win a championship, it will have to go through the Lakers. I don't think it would feel right if they would have ever won a title but avoided the Lakers in some way. So the fact, to me, I don't know, Andy, you've been a fan the longest. To me, it just feels like, yeah, it has to be this way.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I'm scared to say this. I've been saying this for months now. This is the year.
Oh, really?
It could be the year, but this is the year. Scary thing to say. Jeff and I talked about this just the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, this team is so different from its predecessors at this point for a couple of reasons. One is, and to your point on Jokic, they don't care.
Right.
Like, they don't care what happened to Alex English's wrist in 1985.
Right.
Or, you know, Carmelo and the guys going out all night in 2009 or whatever happened. You know, like, they don't care. You know, this team doesn't care. And I think that, you know, they're playing with supreme confidence. Jokic is a difference maker. And then remember this, in the history of the MVP award, only four guys haven't made an NBA Finals, okay? And only four guys haven't made an NBA Finals. So typically when you have an MVP, you do go to the NBA Finals at some point. You may not go the year he won the MVP, like Dirk Nowitzki, but you get to the Finals. And so I just think there's I don't want to say inevitability, but this does feel right, and this could be the year. And I'm glad we're going through the Lakers. Bring them on.
Right.
We have to go through the Lakers.
Right. Yeah. It has to. To your point, though, because I always see stats like that, and the only thing I'll push back on is there's not that many MVPs.
Correct.
It feels like, oh, there's been 60 years of NBA. There's been, no, there's actually like 25 MVPs, because when you win it, the odds are you're going to win it multiple times or what have you.
Right.
And let's also be honest, how many MVPs come from Los Angeles,
right.
You know, Miami, New York, you know, there's four or five cities where most MVPs come from. Nonetheless, you know, this is Denver's best era. It's the golden era for me of Denver Nuggets basketball. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I want to start, Jeff, you can help lead the way here.
Okay.
Let's do a brief history of the Nuggets versus the Lakers in the playoffs. You did a great job on Colorado Sports Guys. By the way, host of the Colorado Sports Guys podcast, getting multiple episodes out a week. One of the OG voices in all of this. Highly recommend you subscribe. And he did a great deep dive. We're going to do a skin deep dive, but he did a great deep dive on this in on his show that I encourage everybody to listen to. But let's start with 1979. Lost in the first round,
right?
2-1, three-game series back in the day. 1979, it was the year before Magic Johnson arrived.
Right.
It was also the year before Alex English arrived. And the reason I like that is when you look at Lakers eras, you look at Magic, you know, Kobe, this. And when you look at Nuggets, you go Alex. Or David Thompson before it, Alex, right. You know, what have you. This is the David Thompson era.
It is.
This is not the Alex English era. This is the David Thompson. This is not the Doug Moe era. This is the Larry Brown era. So walk us through that one. How did that series go, and what do we need to know?
Well, the things you need to know about that series specifically are Larry Brown quit in a huff during that year.
What do you mean?
He just completely he abandoned the team. He was sick of Carl Shear. He did his he did his usual Larry Brown thing and just quit. Yeah. And it was about 29 games before the season ended. Donnie Walsh took over.
Really?
Donnie Walsh, the future GM of the Indiana Pacers and the person who did the Carmelo Anthony trade with the New York Knicks. Well, James Dolan did, but whatever. Anyway, so that happened. And then, but before this, but people need to understand is that the Nuggets traded Bobby Jones in that offseason for George McGinnis,
right.
Who was basically a large corpse.
The following season?
No,
before?
Before.
Okay.
That right after they had lost the Western Conference Finals.
Probably the worst trade in Denver Nuggets history.
One of them, but then McGinnis gets traded for Alex English.
Alex English is the right. Following.
Right. Maybe the best
trade. Right, there you go. All right.
Right. So that's that Nuggets team. Brown quits. The Nuggets resurge under Donnie Walsh. And they get into the playoffs. The first round, they're the four seed. The Lakers are the five seed. They're the four seed because the Lakers had they'd lost season series, and it was the Nuggets won the first game. They had the home court advantage, so the Nuggets won the first game. Lakers won the second game in L.A. Third game comes down to the last minute, literally the last minute. Kareem does his patented 12. I think it was about a 12 to 15 foot skyhook. It was a long skyhook. 12 seconds left. Boom! Nuggets were toast.
Man,
the Lakers won 112-111.
What do you know of this one, Andy?
I can't. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean. You know it historically. Yeah,
I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
That game used to be on YouTube.
Yeah, I may have been there.
That's a true story, by the way. Yeah. Season tickets since you were in diapers.
Literally since I was in the womb of my mother. Yeah,
there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lifelong season ticket holder. So I there's a good chance I was there. But I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one thing, we're going to get to this later about like the fork in the roads between winning and not winning championships. But that was a series, when you look up statistically, David Thompson, Kareem, equal numbers. In fact, in that game, in game three, Kareem had 29, David Thompson had 28. So that shot that you're talking about, the game-winning hook, was the difference.
Was the difference.
And I do feel like there's something, too. Like, David Thompson ruined his own legacy, you know, went through things later on. But I do feel like David Thompson was a guy that could have been a bigger star, even with the way his career fell apart. But it's little things like this where a legacy gets written.
Michael Jordan, of all the NBA players in history that could have introduced him at the Hall of Fame, he had David Thompson. And one more quick comment about that era. And again, I wish I could say I remembered it. I was technically alive. But the Nuggets that come over from the ABA in 1976 had the best record in the Western Conference. Lose to the Portland Trailblazers, the eventual champions, in the second round in 77. Go to the conference finals in 78 and lose to the Seattle Supersonics, and then lose to the Lakers in 79.
Right.
So it's just an unfortunate era. And I guess what it tells us about today is you got to take advantage of your opportunities because they don't come along very often.
Another thing to point out is, yes, this was the first of the start of the Nuggets' misery with the Lakers. That Lakers team that beat them in 79 was thoroughly mediocre. That era, the initial Kareem era was not very good. And Kareem, there's a reason they had a worse record than the Nuggets. I think their second best player after Kareem was Norm Nixon.
It wasn't Jamal Wilkes.
It wasn't Jamal Wilkes. Right. It was Norm Nixon. So yeah. It was like it just wasn't a very good team, and it was to me it's notable for the start of the misery, basically. Yeah.
And it's funny because that series, as forgettable as it was, because as you mentioned, neither team went on to win the title. It was a line of demarcation, and I love the context of the Nuggets being good up until that point, because things break differently in 1980. You get Magic Johnson joining the Lakers, and of course the rest is history. If we go to 1985, the Nuggets match up with the Los Angeles Lakers. The 80s Lakers were, you know, obviously a phenomenal team. Mm-hmm. 1985, they lose 4-1. Nuggets had a 52-30 record, by the way. This was the best team of the Doug Moe era?
Second. I think 87, 88 was the best. Yeah. 84, 85 was the second best.
Okay.
My opinion. I don't know if you agree or not.
Yeah.
I want to talk about 87. Oh. So you got to talk about 84, 85. Yeah. 87 is my favorite one. Yeah.
84, 85 is interesting because that's the series where Kareem, first of all, before I get to that, that's the series where they blew out each other. That's where the Lakers blew out the Nuggets in game one. Nuggets blew out the Lakers in game two. The Lakers came here in game three, blew out the Nuggets. There was one game that was the difference, and that was game four, where it was close all the way down to the end. But the game is most notable for Kareem breaking Alex English's hand.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video of it, and I wrote an article on this in Stiffs like 11 years ago, and you look at the video, Kareem sees, he was pissy because the Nuggets were around him on a free throw rebound. You could see he looks over at English, takes his elbow, and goes, bam, like that. In just a moment.
Kareem
was
a little dirty.
Yes. He was throwing a fit is basically what he was doing. And it just, English already had a bad, it was like a bad thumb. And that just completely got, and you know what the Nuggets were doing? Because the English had 28 points up at that point. It was early third quarter. The Nuggets were on track to winning that game. Nuggets win that game. That game series probably goes seven.
Because it's 2-2.
Yeah. And then, of course, he's out. Fat Lever was already hurt. Dan Issel was on basically literally one leg, and he was about to retire. And that's it. The next game, they lose by 44.
Yeah. I actually make just two quick comments. You know, the Lakers of the 80s, basically on Magic Johnson's watch, which is why it's such a tragedy that he had to retire in 91, they went to 9 finals in 12 years. Just think, 9 finals in 12 years when I think the NBA was pretty damn competitive. But my second comment, because it's the first time we've been together for a long time, how does Alex English get left off of the top 75 team?
I know.
He scored more points in the 80s than anyone.
Right.
It's an absolute crime. I can name 3 or 4 guys right off the top of my head that shouldn't be on that team.
Right.
Anthony Davis, who we're going to play
There Damian was like Lillard, 2 or 3
Dennis
people.
Rodman. How do you put Dennis Rodman over Alex English?
Damian Lillard's the funny one to me. Is the of all of the ones that they did, just because you could maybe make the case about Alex English's playoff success or what have you, but it's, let's compare the two. They're the same
it's
here.
Criminal.
So,
it's criminal.
So
it's criminal.
I think that one for sure. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Some technical difficulties. We made our way through it. I am back here, of course, with Jeff Morton, Colorado Sports Guys podcast, Andy Feinstein, founder of Fire George Carl, and later Denver Stiffs, and an OG. But we're going through the history of the Denver Nuggets right now to kind of start things off. The history of the Nuggets versus the Lakers. We did 1979. We did 1985. 1987, we're now in the era where Denver was not quite as competitive. Lost in the first round to the Lakers 3-0. Denver had a 37-45 record that year. The Lakers were 65-17.
So this is the good old days of the NBA. So there's good and bad of only having 23 teams, but you could literally make the playoffs if you had 37 wins.
Yeah.
And it's going to sound crazy to the modern fan, but in the 80s, the Lakers were awesome and everybody else kind of was mediocre. Where in the Western Conference, whereas in the Eastern Conference was stacked. The Eastern Conference had the Celtics and the Bucks and the Bulls and the Sixers and the Hawks and all these great teams. But anyway, in 87, Nuggets, Lakers. Would the Lakers win that year?
65-17. And that's arguably the best Lakers team ever. And some might even say the best team ever.
Yeah. So 65 wins. The Nuggets have 37 wins.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a 28 game delta. But anyway, the best part of this series is before the series even starts, someone in the press asked Doug Moe, who we named Denver Stiffs after, you know, what chance do the Nuggets have of beating the Lakers? And he looked at the report. He's like, what are you talking about? We ain't got no chance of beating the Lakers. Now, he did that on purpose, though.
Yeah.
He was being candid, but he was actually, he wanted to get his team a little fired up. It was also a dig at Pat Riley. because he and Pat Riley had this rivalry, and Pat Riley really felt like that comment was Doug Moe's way of disrespecting the team and disrespecting the game.
Really?
You come out, oh, yeah. Like you come out and play no matter what. But the Nuggets lost game three in that series, 140-103 at McNichols.
Oh, geez.
So it was...
My memory of that series was there's a lot of clowning going on by Magic Johnson. A lot of behind-the-back passes. In fact, I think that game he hit a half-court shot.
He did hit a half-court shot at McNichols. I won't guarantee that it was in that game, but he did hit a half-court shot at McNichols.
It was 87 because I had to look at that every CBS break. I had to look at that.
He does hit a half-court shot at McNichols.
Oh, right. It was like the highlight that they just kept showing.
Oh, my God. It was insufferable. I hated it.
But it was really, I mean, and I should remember my history better. What's remarkable about it, though, is the 84-85 Nuggets were legit conference finals. The 85-86 Nuggets were legit. They went to a game six, second round against the Houston Rockets, lost in, I think, double overtime in McNichols Arena to the Ralph Sampson, Akeem Olajuwon Rockets in the second. I mean, they were legit.
Yep.
And then the wheels came off in 86-87. Maybe there were injuries or something. But 87-88 is arguably the best Nuggets team of the 80s. And they don't get a rematch with the Lakers, unfortunately. So that was a good era. They just had a dip year. I don't know why.
They had a dip year when the Lakers had their best year. Yeah, I mean, that was the best Lakers year. Yeah. And, of course, they go on to they do. Do they win it that year?
They beat Larry. Yeah, that was the first time Magic beats Larry.
Right.
First time. There first you of go. Two.
And they win in 88 as well.
No.
No, first of two to beat Larry. He beat Larry twice.
No, he beat him in 85.
I just said that. We just said 85.
No, 87 we were talking
about. Oh, yeah, 87. Second of two. Sorry, you're right.
Summer is coming. Are you ready to unveil your beach bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your body is ready for the wild with their game-changing full body grooming and hygiene products. Don't be that guy at the beach, that furry chest. And if you grew some winter man tits, then at least you can make sure they're hairless. It's time to get ready for a hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping when you use the promo code DNVR. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you increase your confidence and level up your full body grooming game with the Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with Essential Lawnmower 4.0, waterproof, you can use it in the shower, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. So what are you waiting for? Go head on over to manscaped.com and use promo code DNVR. Get 20% off plus free shipping with promo code DNVR at manscaped.com. Also want to tell you guys about the Game Time app. It's the place you go when you want to buy Nuggets tickets, Avalanche tickets, Rockies tickets, or tickets to any concert or event going on this summer. They've got the great interface. You can see the all-in price. All those sites, they don't tell you. Then you get to the fees part, and it adds on a whole bunch. On the very front page of the Game Time app, it has all-in price, so you're not fooled. But what the final ticket price will be, you can know right up front. And they have great deals. Nuggets playing the Lakers right now, so prices are a little bit high. But hey, you wouldn't have it any other way. Western Conference Finals, you expect to pay up, but you're going to get the best deals by using the Game Time app. They even have that map feature where you can look at the upper level and see prices, lower level, courtside if you got it like that, anything you want. And then, of course, concerts coming up. You want to see Nathaniel Rateliff, tallest man on earth, all of the top performing acts. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. When go to Red Rocks, you get your tickets at Game Time app. Don't forget, snag the tickets without the stress with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use promo code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DNVR for $20 off.
The next time the Nuggets, so then the Nuggets era, the Doug Moe era ends a couple years later. And
prematurely.
And then we go through a decade of, I mean, there was a couple little highlights sprinkled in, but there's no playoff rivalries to be spoken of at that point. 2008, though, you get back into the Carmelo era, and people don't... The Carmelo era is kind of funny, the way it's remembered historically, because it really was, I would say, three eras. It was the pre-Iverson era, the Iverson era, and the Chauncey era. And this was the Iverson era. It's really the pinnacle of the Iverson era, because 2008, you lost in the first round, 4-0, by the way.
Right.
Again, when people look back fondly on the Melo era, that's my era. You know, that's where I'm coming of age. You know, I'm a college kid and everything else. But there was only a handful of wins. I think Carmelo Anthony has 16 wins, not series, wins total in the playoffs. And you think, well, that was over seven seasons.
Does he have that many?
Well, they almost all came in one. Four, eight, nine, 10. So he had 10 in one year.
Yeah.
And then six in every other year.
Right.
All
right.
The other series they played. This one was a sweep, 4-0. And what was weird about this year, the Nuggets had 50 wins and was an 8 seed. With Iverson. The team wasn't great, but 50 wins is usually a 4 seed. They were eight. They snuck in.
And they barely made it. I mean, yeah, this was the season that launched the ship. Yep. I was a disgruntled Nuggets fan, splitting my time between Denver and Los Angeles. I should know better, but you know, I was in my at the time early 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm getting egged on to launch a sports blog, you know, and a lot of my friends and fellow season ticket holders felt like, you know, this is unacceptable. I mean, we've had George Karl, we've had Carmelo Anthony, we've had these number 1 through 4 picks on our team: Kenyon Martin, Marcus Camby, now Allen Iverson, and we're garbage. We're garbage on the floor. We're garbage off the floor. We've laid down and died every year. We've lost to the Clippers. The Clippers hadn't won a playoff series ever, I don't think, since they became the LA Clippers.
Right. The Clippers lost. I'm with you. Because they ran into, like, the Spurs, and, you know, you're like, all right.
The Clippers one was the worst.
The Clippers were, like, dead the Nuggets. It's like, come on.
They tanked to get the Nuggets.
That's right. They tanked to get the Nuggets. And so, you know, and I just, I as a season ticket paying fan, I'd had it. I said, you know, when you buy a ticket to a sporting event, you don't expect them to win. But they should put the same amount of energy and effort into trying to win as I put into earning the money to buy that ticket.
Right.
You're a taxpayer. And that, and so anyway, that launched firegeorgecarl.com because I felt like in the what should have been, in again, my opinion, the greatest season in Nuggets history.
Right.
We had Iverson, we had Melo, we had Camby, we had a healthy Kmart. We had all these things going for us. Turned out to be a debacle. Mm. And yes, they won 50 games, but they barely won 50 games. And 50 is not that tough. That means you win 75% of your home games and half your road games.
Right.
So they barely made the playoffs. They got smoked by the Lakers. They didn't just lose. They got smoked with no effort. And that was where George Karl called J.R. Smith out for being, what did he say? Wasn't paying attention. It was a loser. What was it?
Yeah, killing grass.
I don't know. George Karl went after J.R. I'm like, really, George Karl? Of all the reasons this didn't work, it was because of J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of Joel Embiid saying, I need 3 more teammates.
Right.
which I'm happy to talk about after he stole Jokic's third MVP. But anyway, so that was a debacle against the Lakers. And but fire George Karl. People can say what they want. Fire George Karl worked.
Yeah.
Because it got everyone's attention.
Yep.
It got everyone's attention. And the next year, the next season, addition by subtraction. So Camby's out. Iverson's out. Chauncey's in. Kenyon's fully healthy. Nene's healthy.
Chris Anderson.
They played a little bit harder. Yeah. And they played a little bit more aggressively. And they won, I think, 53 games the next year?
54.
Oh, yeah.
54.
But it was also a different, I mean,
different dynamic. But that fire George Karl worked. Because the intent of fire George Karl wasn't to fire George Karl.
Yeah.
It was to get your guys' asses into gear and give us an effort on the floor, and it worked.
And people that don't know, real quick, 2008, this is pre-social media. I think Twitter launches in 2007, but it's not what it is. Facebook is a different thing. This is when blogging was fresh. It was new. It was a way. And if I recall, the story is you launch this, Deadspin picks it up, and it's not like, you know, some fan made a thing. It became a story.
Well, no, here's what happened real quick. So George Karl's lawyer, who became a personal friend of mine,
Brent Adams,
in the middle of the night, sent me a threatening email to sue me into oblivion.
Yeah.
Okay. If I say anything defamatory,
right.
Which I was in the entertainment business. I know what defamation is. And so I called my lawyer. I'm like, what should I do with this? He said, put the letter on your website.
Perfect.
And that's when Deadspin picked it up. Bill Simmons picked it up.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal picked it up. Right. And overnight, Denver Sips became, maybe at the time there were 2 or 3 Nuggets blogs. It went from 1 of 3 to the only Nuggets blog. So I owe you, Brett Adams, a lot of credit. And Brett and I still keep in touch. We've been friends to this day.
This is your superpower, by the way. Pissing people off en route to a friendship.
Well, I that's my superpower.
I have to add some things to that particular year. This is the year after the We Believe Warriors.
That's right.
They won 48 games that year.
Right.
And barely missed the playoffs. That was a stacked year in the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference was garbage.
Complete garbage.
But one of the things about that team that was so frustrating is that you have Marcus Camby. When did Camby win Defensive Player of the Year?
He may have won it in 07.
I think it was 07, 08.
Yeah.
And that is the most mocked Defensive Player of the Year ever. I think Tim Duncan was openly laughing about it.
Because he was an actually great defender, Tim Duncan. So
People love Marcus Camby now, and I get it because he's more of a modern era player. But that was part of this whole stew. And then they lost. And that's the year Melo screams at George on the bench, don't just sit there, do something.
Yeah.
and he's throwing stuff at George, and it was bad.
And that series wasn't close, by the way. Three of the games were blowouts. Oh, it was 20 points it was, in every game.
These are the days when Melo refused to show up for the playoffs. Right. I mean, it was a disaster.
And real quick, just to kind of put a button on this one, that Lakers team was hungry. Kobe and Shaq had split years before. Kobe had been in the desert trying to drag a bad team. They get Pau Gasol that year, and it was immediately the Lakers are the story again. Yep. So they came into that one.
MVP, I think.
I think you're right, in 2008.
Yeah.
And this is why this year for them, it was one of those ones where it was like nobody's stopping the Lakers. The Lakers are on a mission. And I say that to say, so far if we go back, 79, kind of a blah year for the Lakers. 85, big year for the Lakers. 87, big year for the Lakers. 2008, big year for the Lakers. 2009, we now get there. This is conference finals, 54 wins. Nuggets a 2 seed. Lakers a 1 seed. By the way, Lakers had 65 wins. So they had 11 more wins than the Nuggets, even though the Nuggets were the 2 seed that year. But the Lakers had lost in the finals. So Kobe had almost made it. And now it was like, hey, so that was a team that was, again, especially on a mission and felt like, I hate to give them this credit, they felt a little bit like a team of destiny. And I think the Nuggets were the spoilers of that. The best team they ever had, great leader. But the story was, can the Nuggets beat the Lakers? The Lakers are going, this is their arc.
You know, I went to all 6 games, LA and Denver. Yeah. I was still going back and forth.
Commuting.
I went to all 6. All 6. And I remember we played them really tough. It was 2-2. If George Karl, I hate to pick on George because George has become a friend too.
Yeah, yeah.
My superpower. But, I mean, it's just science. I don't know why you'd put a 5'11" Anthony Carter as your inbound man.
Yeah.
When Trevor Ariza and Lamar Odom, who are nearly 7 feet each, are guarding the in-ball pass. We have a guy at Denver Stiffs whose name is inbounding lob pass for that era. Okay, that's his username. Just stupidity. Yeah. I mean, I was in LA. I think it was we had him, but I think we still split in LA. And we split back
split,
in Denver.
Split, and then 5-6.
So I was there for game 5 in LA. And the Nuggets played, if you look it up, the Nuggets played close to a tie in game 5. Close to a tie.
It was a close game.
But in the second half of game 5, the Nuggets imploded and got their butts kicked.
Yep.
And I knew going into game 6.
It was done.
We were in big trouble.
Yep.
I found out after the fact that the night before game 5 in LA, the guys just couldn't help themselves.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to mention specific players' names because I don't want to get in trouble again. But I'll just say they were out way past what would be the reasonable hour on the eve of a Western Conference Finals game.
That's so infuriating.
And they were done.
That's the worst story I've ever heard.
And then I remember game 6. It was almost like Kobe was just waiting, and he assaulted. Use the word assault with Kobe. Kobe. Well, I could say he assaulted the Nuggets.
All right. Well,
Kobe,
sure.
I didn't say sexually assaulted. Kobe just decimated the Nuggets in game 6 in Denver. Just decimated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that quote. Decimated. May he rest in peace.
He
eagle counted him. You know,
that's terrible. That's worse than what I did. Yes.
Here's
allegedly.
Allegedly. Here is the problem with the way that series unfolded. Game 1. The Nuggets never should have, they had the game in their hands and they let it slip away. And obviously the inbound pass is what everyone remembers. But the Nuggets at one point in the first half were up by 15.
Wow.
And they were just, the Lakers were just not prepared for how the Nuggets were going to play. The Lakers reeled them in and it was still close at the end. The Nuggets did the same exact game plan the next game and won. And that's the famous Chauncey throwing the pass off of Kobe's back and doing that thing. Game 3 was messed up because of J.R. Smith deciding to taunt Saša Vujačić at the end of the third quarter.
I don't know how you remember
of
this.
Of all people, Saša effing
the machine.
Vujačić, yes, who like he hit a three-pointer, went looked down at him, and it got a technical foul. And it was ridiculous, all right? And that completely sucked all the Nuggets' momentum out of that game. It was just such a stupid thing to do. And they did learn their lesson because JR did something similar in game 4, but the Nuggets were up by, 18 at the time. But game 5, and when I talk about this, it wasn't the second half. It was the fourth quarter. The Nuggets just did not show up. That's the fourth quarter where Kmart grabbed onto Pau Gasol's leg.
Right.
And it was just they were doing things that were just stupid.
Their size made a big impact down the stretch of that series. They just became, I think in the game six, the closeout game, they might have had like 30 offensive rebounds or something. Insane. It was also good
George Karl, bad George Karl in the exact same series, right? Like good George Karl. Like think about like the 1996 Seattle Sonics. You know, the Bulls are up 3-0. You know, they go into who gives a F mode, and they were the first team ever to not get swept after being down 3-0, and they actually scared the Bulls. And this, I think this was the same thing. George was like, come out in game one, punch him in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to those game-to-game and in-game adjustments, you know, that's bad George Karl, and they couldn't figure them out.
So we've got Kareem.
You're right, the Lakers, you're making I'm with you on your thread.
Right.
That Lakers team was going.
Yeah. That team, they were the team of destiny, and the team of destiny doesn't always make it, but I just am saying that there is a recurring theme. So the first year is Kareem's Lakers, pre-golden era for them. Then it's Magic's Lakers, Kobe's Lakers, and then you get to 2020, and it's LeBron's Lakers. So we're talking about the history of basketball as told.
2012.
Did I miss one in 2012?
2012.
Yeah. All right. 2012.
Tail end of Kobe's Lakers. That's an interesting series.
All right, let me hear it.
That's a really – talk about this one because this is the JaVale McGee. This is the JaVale McGee.
Oh, that's right.
The $100 million dollar series.
Yeah. I love Masai Ujiri, but I – oh, my God. Your boy. But I this was the series. The Nuggets got down 3-1. Game five, they go to.
Down 3-1?
They were down 3-1.
Okay.
So this is old Kobe, and this is post-Melo.
This is Mike Brown was coaching the Lakers.
And this is the post-Melo trade, and this is the team that goes on to win
Rudy Fernandez. Games. Yeah, Rudy Fernandez was on the Nuggets.
Yeah, and the year before the.
The big 57 win.
The 12-13 team. This is the 11-12 team.
This is after a trade that was that two trades that Masai Ujiri pulls out. This was the strike year or the lockout year. And they have a team that has JaVale McGee coming off the bench. You still have Kostas Koufos and, you know, Timofey Mozgov and stuff
all
like that.
All time
right?
stiff.
And so game five rolls around. And suddenly, JaVale McGee, people in the comments will remember this, JaVale McGee goes off. And I mean, he goes off. The best game
He's
of his
Chamberlain,
career.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching it at Jake's with you guys, and we were like
He's Will Chamberlain.
Stunned. Our mouths are on the ground. Charles Barkley was like, at the end of the game, was like, I can't believe JaVale McGee, of all people, did this. Yeah. And it was like unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then they come back to Denver. They cream the Lakers. Just completely cream them. Do you know why they lost game seven?
In L.A.?
Guess who came back from suspension after being suspended for the first six games of that series?
Oh, man. Man, who was it?
Meta World Peace.
Oh, that's
Ron
right.
Ron Artest.
Right. That's right. That's right.
He was suspended for the first six
for
games?
The first, because this is the elbowing Harden in the face.
Oh, God, you have a good suspension. Memory. This is why you got to bring Jeff. Yeah. He's got a great memory.
So.
Yeah.
That's right.
I can remember this, but I can't remember how to, you know, function in life.
That's his superpower.
Yes, it is. He after that suspension, he comes back, locks down Gallo, who they had was the Nuggets X factor in that series, and locks him down. And Steve Blake has a career game. Steve Blake.
So this is why, and we'll talk about this when we get to 2023. I know we got to talk about 2020, but this is why game sevens.
Yep.
Shit
you never know what happens. Yeah.
Shit happens.
And so be careful.
There is something cool, though, about if they would have gotten that one, because that era of Nuggets, for me personally, I never had faith in them as a title contender.
Right.
You just want to do something cool. And so 57 wins, for example, was cool. It makes that year worthwhile and memorable, and we all get to connect with it. But if you get to beat the Lakers and play spoiler with a bad team, that makes a season. You're like, I don't even care. They get swept in the next round. Who cares?
I know.
Remember we knocked out Kobe and basically ended his playoff career? Opportunity missed.
Our presenting sponsor today is Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know them, the official beer partner at DNVR. I like the Avalanche Amber, this nice cool front we've been having. Nice sip of an Avalanche Amber out on the back porch. Not a bad way to live your life. You got the Vanilla Porter Jr. And then, of course, the Denver Nuggets. Most beautiful can in all of beer, in the history of beer making, Mile High City Golden Ale. You can check that out. Nugget season right now as we race to the conference finals. What better way to watch them than by drinking the Mile High City Golden Ale? But you can get all of the Breckenridge breweries. You have never had one? Come on down to the DNVR bar. We've got a full tap
of all Breckenridge. I think we have 8 Breckenridge breweries on tap and then a bunch more in the cans. You could try out the Fun Slinger. You can try out the Vanilla Porter Jr., all kinds of them here. And then if you don't know, if you're not in Colorado and you want to try one of these delicious beers that we've been talking, Strawberry Sky, you can use the Breck Brew Locator, which tells you exactly where you can find Breckenridge Brewery in your county. It'll give you a liquor store, it'll give you a bar, it'll give you restaurants. Just put in your zip code. It'll tell you exactly everything you need to know. Don't forget, Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer partner of DNVR. We're also excited to be partnering with Circle K. Check out your local Circle K for the best coffee, beer, and snack selections, and of course, premium gas. Look out for freebies and giveaways down the road. Here's the cool thing, you guys, Circle K, they have those TVs. When you go up to pump gas, they got a little TV. They'll play a clip of the weather, this or that. Guess what else you're going to see when you go to Circle K? Us, the DNVR Nuggets, live on your screen. So next time you stop for gas and you want to catch up on the DNVR Nuggets podcast, go to Circle K and take a picture. Honestly, if you guys see this, if you go to a Circle K, first of all, shouts for helping out us by helping out our sponsors. But two, take a picture if you see us pop up on those little screens at the gas pump. They're playing our videos there because of this partnership, which I think is the coolest thing. But also on top of that, you've got your favorite road trip snacks, best deal you've ever gotten, great coffee. They pride themselves in having that great coffee. Go to pickups, find out where your closest location is, and then become a Circle K loyalist. Thank them for sponsoring DNVR and all of the cool stuff that we have going on.
2020, of course, is the bubble year.
Right.
This one's hard to categorize because as I'm doing this thing where I'm talking about teams of destiny, the bubble to me, in hindsight, is a very frustrating year. Yeah. I do feel like for some reason a Lakers narrative emerged out of the ashes of a regular NBA season that turned into this catastrophe, and then they became the symbol of like, you know, we're back and everybody rally around the Lakers here. And the Nuggets, to me, were the team of the bubble. They came back from 3-1 twice. They were this miraculous team. And, you know, for me, that series, I don't think the Denver Nuggets were ready. I mean, that was like the first year where they kind of were breaking into the top tier of NBA teams, but they weren't quite there yet. So I don't hold this like lost opportunity or anything. But when I think back to it, game one, they play. Jokic is in foul trouble the entire game. This is a frustrating game. He's in foul trouble. They lose. Game two, again, tough game. Like this, Jokic in the end of that game scores 11 straight points. 11 straight points. Including what was going to be the game winner. He gets it over the Anthony Davis jumper. They score. And then Murray shoots an air ball. And Jokic, without looking at the basket, taps it like this into the basket. It was the most miraculous little tip shot.
Yeah.
It was like NC State, you know, the way they won the game. It was almost like that, only it was backwards. With 2.1 seconds left. Yeah. And of course, what does everybody remember that game? You were shaking your head going like, as if you didn't remember.
Anthony Davis.
What everybody?
No, I remember.
Because it's one of those things where that would have been a thing we said. Remember when Jokic had 11 straight to close out a game and steal the game?
I am a huge Nuggets fan. I literally don't remember him scoring 11 straight. I remember Anthony
Exactly. Davis's. But what we all remember is 2.1 seconds left. Mason Plumlee and Jeremy Grant, who maybe weren't the most motivated to stay inside the bubble. By the way, this is a real story. I don't ever take credit away from the Clippers or from the Nuggets for beating the Clippers, but there were a lot of reports of Clippers players that didn't want to be there anymore.
I wish I could share it, but when we're not on camera, I got some great Clippers scoop.
There were a lot of players that were, let's just say, I don't know if it was consciously sabotaging their team because I don't think that happened. Same with the Nuggets. I don't think anybody was, but if to win a championship, you have to imagine it takes every ounce of your soul. And I just think there were some guys that were like, do I really care to be here? And so anyway, Nuggets lose that game. And I think that was kind of the series.
Yeah.
Denver was more competitive in games 1 through 4 than I think anyone will remember. Right. But 5-game series is a 5-game series.
Yeah. No, I remember Mason Plumlee not getting out or forgetting to get out on Anthony Davis.
I think he just switched without telling anyone.
And I think there was a miscommunication with he and Jeremy Grant, wasn't it? And it was just like, it was like, oh my God. And I'm in the back of my mind. Ever since that game, I keep thinking, maybe that's why Mason wanted to leave.
that was the seventh time the Nuggets have lost to the Lakers, right? And now we're at zero.
But to the point here, the Lakers on all of these years were the team of destiny from a narrative standpoint. Some of this is just that the Lakers are always the story.
Right.
But some of this is actually historically, you look at it, Magic's Lakers, you know, whatever. This year, to me, is a little bit different because the Lakers are not the team of destiny. They were in the play-in. Right. The Lakers were a team that had been counted out. Now
they were 33-37 like 2 months ago.
Like 2 months ago, they've in my opinion, you know, I have like some Lakers friends I talk to on a daily basis, and you know, they're trying to drum up this "we believe" story about underdogs, and I'm always thinking like, this is hilarious to me that the Lakers of all teams, I just went through a history of an entire organization over 50 years, and we're just the footnote in their story.
It's the
over
plucky
this.
Underdog.
So it's kind of funny to try to drum up that storyline. But I look at that one and I go, this is the first time it feels like the Nuggets should win. Yep. Not that they can win, but that they should win.
Oh, no, it's actually an upset if we lose, if that's what you're saying.
I mean it's a slight upset statistically, but yes.
But no, I mean, we're favorite. I mean, the odds makers are on the Nuggets. We have home court advantage. We've never played better, to your point. we've played well all year long. I mean, the Lakers just got their act together a month ago, basically.
Right.
You know, maybe 6 weeks ago. So, anyway,
But hold on a second, because in another way, the story, outside of the David Thompson, for one, the story was it was Magic's league. It was Kobe's league. It was LeBron's league. Right now, Jokic, a two-time MVP, he's such an unexpected guy to inherit the league. Yeah. And even at this moment, it feels weird to say. But this series, to me, represents that.
Yep.
We've never, even though Jokic's a two-time MVP, we've never had a guy that was the face of the league. And I don't mean that from marketing. I just mean it from who does it go through. And to me, we're not there yet. But that's what this one represents, that was never the case before.
Well,
it's a great point.
There's a reason the Nuggets are the number one seed. I feel like I'm talking crazy that I have to remind people of this. The Nuggets are the number one seed in the West.
Right.
They're the reason. And I think that last month of the season has poisoned people's brains. Basically, the Nuggets saying, you know what, we got this. We don't have to try very hard. And not trying very hard burned into people's brains. They valued their health over absolutely everything. Mm. They wanted to come into the playoffs 100% healthy. And you know what? I cannot say that they made the wrong decision.
My only nitpick is they've put themselves in a tough spot should Boston make
That's
the
true.
Finals.
Right.
Because the Nuggets, I always think you should at least play to have the best record because you never know. And that could be an issue, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. I'll take NBA Finals appearance all day long.
Yes.
Right.
But I am a little worried about that in the back of my mind.
Well, I want to ask some legacy questions now, because you guys have been fans for so long. How is the city of Denver different from 1985?
Oh man, tons different. In the most meaningful way, tons of transplants moved in.
This is the number one thing to me.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you why. This is 100%. I've gone over this on my podcast, and I've told Andy this. This is what happens. People started moving into Denver when the Nuggets were at their absolute worst. They were moving in from places like LA. They were moving in from Boston. They were moving in from Chicago. A lot of people from Chicago. All these people were moving in. They had no incentive to switch allegiances because the Nuggets in the 90s. Particularly about 95 to 2003 were awful.
And not only awful, just not cool. There's nothing about them that got you to say, hey, why would I do this? It's like the Rockies right now. Yeah. If you move here, it's like, oh, you've got to be a Rockies fan. They're like, why? Because we lose every game and they make decisions that never make sense.
100%. That's absolutely it. And that's why. So people, when they come in, they invade a building because they moved in when the Nuggets were dog crap.
Right.
And now they're not.
But people, this is why I wanted to bring this up, is whenever I see the old clips of the teams in the 80s, the Doug Moe's Nuggets, there was just an enormous amount of pride in the crowd. It was a Nugget. And whenever we have Alex English on the show, he's been on a few times now, he always says, oh, man, those fans were something else. They always had that building rocking, and you wouldn't see anything but Nuggets in the – and you think 1985, 2023 – couldn't be more different.
Well, there's a couple of and I don't have the statistics in front of me. In fact, I've done the business show here before. We've talked about this a little bit. The inflationary increase of ticket prices is not even close to relativity to what. So, what a ticket cost in 1985, you know, versus what it costs today. I'm just making this up.
But right.
Like, I think you know, I'm not going to talk about what I pay for my seats, but it's a lot of money. Double, I think, of what an equivalent ticket would have been back then. So we've priced the real Denver fan out of the building.
Right, right.
A lot of the tickets are now bought by corporations as a business expense, which is legitimate. I have no problem with that. And then you add the transplant component to it. So you add all those things in. I don't think the fan base is quite as, I hate to say, authentic as it was in the 80s, is my guess.
Yeah.
because you have a lot of transplants. It's a lot of corporate tickets. And you've probably heard this bemoaning about a lot of arenas across the country.
Yeah, it's not just a Denver thing, but I think it's especially a Denver thing.
But I think that, you know, just with my real estate and my business hat on, I love the fact that Denver's exploded into a 3 million person metro area.
Right.
I think we are the best second tier city in America. I think that it's, I've never seen more Nuggets gear
right
in the last 2 years or maybe 3 years than I'd seen prior. Also, and this is going to sound a little tacky, but you love this stuff. Our brand is really cool. We got good colors. Yeah. We got a good font. Like, I hated the powder blues.
I did,
that's
too.
Because, like, what, Kiki Vandeweghe went to UCLA, so all of a sudden we're UCLA's colors.
Somebody from not Colorado coming in and making things. Yeah. That, this is, and again, I hate to critique the Nuggets, like, people behind, players, front office, whatever.
Yeah.
The Nuggets marketing, to me, they have so many people that are not from Denver, and you could always tell when a decision was made from somebody that is not from Denver. To me, a team, it's about civic pride, and there needs to be some historical anchor to it. So it's an aside, but to me, it's an important thing.
Right. Yeah, like it's Jeff's beloved team, but I didn't love the maroon and the
skyline.
Was it mauve? What was the red?
It was like
that was the maroon. What was the
maroon?
Blue?
Maroon and navy blue.
Navy blue.
Are you talking about the 90s?
Yeah.
You didn't like that one?
That one didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, you're right, because it was so different.
And then and the team was garbage.
Right.
And then in the OOs, the powder blue was awful. And
if you took the name off of the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s Nuggets, just took the logo off and said, how many different teams are this? You'd be like, oh, that's five different teams.
But the late 70s, the 80s font and logos and gear, and then what we're seeing now, and they've had some aborted attempts on trying to honor it, but fair enough, at least they're trying.
Yeah.
It's way better. So I think there's a cool factor to it. I don't know what else.
But what were the Nuggets? So, because I actually had this question about brand and identity. So what were the Nuggets of the 80s? You know, the Broncos have obviously always been king because it's football. But was the Nuggets, was it cool to like the Nuggets? Was it everybody liked the Nuggets?
By the time.
Was it hipster?
We get to the late 80s.
Not hipster.
They were not. In fact, the big revisionist history has always been the rainbow skyline was always popular.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not true, folks.
Right.
By the time they changed the colors, it was the, you didn't want to be caught wearing a rainbow skyline. It was when they changed to the navy blues, that was the cool thing because everyone in the 90s had that same goddamn stupid design. And it was just a 90s thing. You just, it's a relic of its era.
I like it because I think I was a kid. So that's like the era where,
right.
So I love the jerseys.
I always talked about relative to the Broncos. So I said the Broncos were the firstborn.
Yeah.
They're like the star of the family who goes off to an Ivy League school and has three medical degrees and does really well. The Nuggets were the second child that lived in the shadow of the first child, tried really hard, just never had the success of the first child. Yep. The Rockies are the newborn, and the Avalanche are the kid you adopt from a foreign country. So I always looked at our four, and the Rapids are like an accident. So those are like the five. Those are like the five kids of Nuggets of Denver fans, sports fans. But the Nuggets in the 80s,
Rapids fans are pissed right now.
In the Nuggets of the 80s, I mean, my flesh and blood brother, who's my best friend in this whole world, was a fucking Lakers fan.
Doesn't make sense.
And it was not uncommon for kids in Denver to be Bulls fans. I was a Dominique fan, even though I was a Nuggets fan.
Bulls fans, you know,
Celtics fans. Yeah. It was not like the coolest thing to do. I'm just being frank, right?
No, it's fine. You're right.
And I'm sure when the team was good, they had asses in the seats and McNichols was rocking.
It's like the Rockies right now. It's just not cool to be a Rockies fan, I think, is the hard part. And the team doesn't reward you with that. So to say I'm
also,
all in.
Also, I remember the Broncos in the 80s had John Elway.
Yeah.
An iconic, an iconic transformational athlete. We love Alex English. We love Fat Lever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just telling you, kids didn't have Alex English Fat Lever. First of all, you couldn't buy a Fat Lever poster because it didn't exist.
Right.
There was only one Alex English poster. And if you went to an NBA kid's house in the 80s, he had Magic and Michael and Larry on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Well, let me, like he has the coolest
poster.
I mean, it's the Superman poster.
Superman. Oh, yeah.
That is the best poster ever. And
they don't do this stuff anymore because players are too cool.
I know.
They're too protective of their brand to put on the spandex underwear.
Oh, those were awesome, too. When the Nuggets had the annual team photo.
For the Rocky Mountain Western Bar thing. I like that.
But anyway, I love being a Nuggets fan growing up. We lived and died with it.
Yeah.
We loved it, but we were definitely the minority.
Final break here to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook, the chase for the NBA title. Still going on for at least four teams, including our beloved Nuggets. While the best in the NBA battle it out, you can get all of the playoff action at your fingertips with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, everyone can score a no-sweat same-game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. This is, of course, where you make a bet on a same-game parlay, and if you lose, you get your bet back. What do you have to lose there? Download the app now and sign up with code DNVR. New customers can make $5 bet to score $150 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code DNVR. You got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK. That's 467-369. In Kansas, you can call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Also want to tell you guys about Illegal Pete's. You guys know what I eat at least once, maybe twice a week. That's, of course, Colorado's own Illegal Pete's. It's patio season. It's also house beer bucket season at Illegal Pete's. Spring is here, and that means patio beers. Kick off the spring session with a house beer bucket for you and your whole crew. Five refreshing 16-ounce beers for $15. Where are you going to get that kind of deal? 16-ounce beers, five of them for $15. It doesn't get much better than that, so come soak up the sun with a loaded burrito and crisp beer at the patio of any Illegal Pete's location. Illegal Pete's. Your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
But here's the thing I always wonder. So we talk about lines of demarcation, and it's hard to go back and say they could have won 85 or whatever. But if the Nuggets win, I always think the Broncos were a team that was never going to win a Super Bowl, and then they won one. And now I think people in Denver think of them as a championship organization. That's the thought. That's how you think of them.
Yeah, right.
And I just think if the Nuggets do ever win one, it'll be a clear line to say there was the BC and the AD of Denver Nuggets basketball where it's like, no, this is a championship organization. There's no reason we can't win next year and the year after.
I said this to Jeff just the other day. The last 5 years of the NBA have inspired me. If the Milwaukee Bucks, so my mom's from Milwaukee. My grandma was a Russian immigrant to Milwaukee. So the Bucks were always my second team. I never thought in my life the Bucks would win an NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to win an NBA championship. Right. They won an NBA championship. The Toronto Raptors, that my good friend Masai Ujiri runs, they won an NBA championship.
Right.
The Warriors won an NBA championship.
And after that, they're a dynasty.
A seventh pick, an 11th pick, and a second round pick. And now they're a dynasty. So, in the modern NBA, and this is credit to you, Adam Silver, and credit to you guys, what you're doing, we can win.
Right. Yep.
And that's a big deal. And that's a big difference from the 80s. That's a big, big difference.
What do you think? What would a championship mean, Jeff?
Oh, my God. But before I answer that, the biggest Terry Cummings fan ever.
Yeah,
right
here. Love Terry Cummings.
But
yeah, the Stiffs of the East. The Bucks Stiffs of the East.
Right.
Paul Mokeski, Randy Brewer.
You're right. Mokeski, man.
They're the Stiffs of the East.
I can't wait for 20 years when people show pictures of Jokic saying, the league back then was terrible. Look at these guys.
Anyway, Adam, you got to go first. That's a tough question. What would it mean to Denver? I can
only say...
You can even say you personally.
What it would mean to me. Because, look, I remember being euphoric when the Broncos won. It finally
euphoric.
Won
beyond euphoric.
97.
It was also a thing that people that don't know.
Other than my two children.
Again,
because
I'm so big. We started this bar because of civic pride. Like, we think there's something to a city coming together for a thing. When the Broncos won the Super Bowl for the first time, everybody in the city was celebrating it. Right. I don't know if it would be that way now just because of how fragmented it is, but it's hard to state that for a month after the Super Bowl, it was the thing you did when you met anybody, grocery store checkout. Everybody was sharing in this glow of what had just happened, and it did feel in a weird way like the city had changed for a period of time.
I'll give you this anecdote. My grandfather died less than a month after they won the Super Bowl, and he was season ticket holder since 1967, right, at that old Mile High Stadium. And he got to, right before he died, he got to see them win. It's the happiest moment. He sat there in a Broncos hat saying, this is the happiest moment of my life, right? For me, personally, a Nuggets victory would mean twice
right
what a Broncos one did, because the suffering with the Nuggets is infinite. And
greater than the Broncos. The Broncos at least made the Super Bowl.
My old podcast colleague Ross Martin said he always had. He said the Nuggets fans were the greatest fans in Denver. He said because to put up with the shit that we have put up with through this whole time,
right?
You have to be dedicated,
right?
And that is why if they won, it would be the happiest moment, one of the happiest moments of my life.
So there are 30 teams in the NBA. Six haven't made it to the NBA Finals. Am I right?
Yep.
Six. The Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right.
The
Pelicans.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah.
The LA Clippers.
Wow.
Okay.
Can you get all of them? So Nuggets won.
Hold on. I'm getting to that. Yeah. Who am I missing? It's a pathetic list of teams. I mean, literally everybody else has at least made
an NBA finals.
Okay? Oh, everybody else has made an NBA finals.
The Pacers?
Oh, yeah. They made it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 2000.
Yeah. That, you're right.
Even the Indiana Pacers have made it. And it'll come to me who
it's gonna get.
I'm missing one.
Bugging.
But we're one of six.
Sacramento?
No, they have. The Rochester Royals made the NBA finals.
Oh, yeah. You're
right. They count it, which is stupid.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Or maybe the Cincinnati Royals, they count it anyway. But the Denver Nuggets have never made, they've never even made it, to your point. And to me, it would, I mean, at the end of the day, also, and you and I have talked about this, it's also the sport you play.
Right.
So you and I grew up playing basketball. Maybe you played football. I didn't play football. So basketball is the sport I played. So I've always been a Nuggets fan first over a Broncos fan. Although I was literally in tears when the Broncos won their first Super Bowl. It'll mean a lot. And then for the city, I don't, you guys have to tell me, though. I was living abroad last year. I was not here. I was physically not here. When the Avalanche won.
Right.
I mean, what was that like?
I'm not a hockey fan, so.
Well, I would say it was different from the first one because, again, I just think that there's less monoculture than before. That's just become fragmented a little bit.
Right.
But nonetheless, I think with the Avs, them winning last year was not a surprise because they had won before and you just don't feel the sense of, oh, they'll never get it. Even though they were the favorite, I think if Denver's the favorite right now, but it feels still like, come on. They're not going to win. They're not going to get past LeBron. They're not going to get past the Lakers. And to me, that's what it represents is, one, we see this in our numbers from what we do. Every round you go further, it like doubles. The people that pay attention double.
Right.
And it's on ABC, and it's easier to access and all this stuff. But it doubles, and I do think that the payoff of winning one, it just changes to where this becomes a Nuggets town. Right now it's a Broncos town, and it's an Avs town. And then the other teams are kind of there for like, hey, pick and choose if you want. But if you win one, you just become a city of, you become a championship organization in a way that's like, of course we could win next year. Of course we could get free agent player, whatever. I'm not saying it'll happen, but the sense of inevitability, I think, lifts.
Even the Rapids have won
By the way, the other franchise that hasn't been to an NBA Finals is the Grizzlies.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's the Nuggets,
Vancouver Grizzlies.
It's the Nuggets and the Clippers.
Yeah.
And four new teams.
This is a real who's who. You're right when you start to think of Pacers, Magic.
Right.
You know, like Sacramento Kings.
And that's
you start to think of, like, really, they're ahead.
And that's why the New York Times wrote that article at the outset of the playoffs about the Nuggets' history.
It's a great article.
It was a great article.
Yeah.
We are the one that has the most lovable, loyal. It's Nug Life. Right. I don't know if you came up with that
one. Yeah,
yeah. You know, we're the most lovable, loyal fan base. We've gotten nothing for it, to Jeff's point.
I'm not lovable.
And look at all the tragedy we've had along the way. You know, like, Jokic has no Murray 2 years in a row because of that ACL. 2013, they win 57 games.
Lose Gallo.
Danilo goes down. 1994, biggest upset at that time in NBA history, taking down the Sonics. Fonz blows his knee out in the offseason.
Right.
Fat Lever in 88. Alex English in 85. We've never, ever, ever had a fair fight.
The chances are few and far between, but every time there's a chance, something seems to come down from above and zap it.
So that's why this is a...
metaphorically knocking on wood here. I honestly, it is a lot of its health, but in the grand scheme of things, like I said, I can't speak for the city of Denver. I can speak for the city of Jeff, and
the city of Jeff.
And it's an unincorporated county.
Okay.
I can only say that for me, as someone who always preferred the Nuggets over the Broncos, which is a very small minority of people in this town, it would be the biggest thing on the planet. And even though I am not as connected to the team as I was even 2-3 years ago, I feel it. And I am looking forward to the moment where the final buzzer sounds, and I'm probably crying like a bit little, like a baby.
Hopefully, right here with us at the bar. But I will say this though: the Jokic piece of this is now interesting because I always wonder with you guys. You're so connected to Alex English, Doug Moe emotionally. You're so connected to Fonz, and you're so, and even the George Carl era. I know I'm not trying to take that from you. I'm just saying you guys all have your own era.
Yeah.
Is this era to you your era? Do you feel that way? And do you feel like Jokic? To me, Jokic is like the guy God sent to me. You know? Do you feel that same way?
You know, my only I've been disconnected.
Yeah.
As you know, and it has nothing to do with Jokic. And I feel bad. I text with Coach Malone all the time.
Really?
Like, we keep in touch. He's awesome. We keep in touch. But you're a dad. I'm a dad. You know, family first. I just haven't, like, I used to go to, when we first became friends, Adam, I used to go to 35 of 41 home games.
Yep.
35 out of 41. I think I went to 15 this year. You know, it's a pain in the ass to watch them on TV.
Yeah.
I have to, like, get my username and password from my DirecTV account at work and patch it into my TV at home. And anyway, so I just don't feel as connected as I should. You know, I haven't missed a single, at least I haven't been able to attend them all in person, but I've been watching every single playoff game very closely the last couple years.
But Jeff, Jokic to me seems like, you being a guy of history, he seems like the ultimate nugget.
Jokic is the ultimate nugget.
I mean, he's a second rounder. Yeah. He's aloof. Yeah. He's all these things.
Yeah. He's actually a Stephen.
Carmelo, in some ways, was like, you know, a star that was given to us. Jokic was a scrub.
A stiff that was given to us
that became a star.
This is the best way I can describe this. I'm old. And when you get older, you like, you revert back to when you remembered loving the team. And for me, that's always a 94 team. That the Nuggets could win five finals, and I will be more emotionally attached to that 94 team all the time because it was the most unique thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I was 16, 17 years old.
Very formative. Yeah.
You know, so it was there. But I will say that the better way for me to answer this would be not about it not being my team. It's about my organization and the Nuggets in general. Them succeeding would mean the world to me.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what era it is. Them doing and finally getting over the cliff would be it. And my days of being emotionally attached ended 25 years ago. But right now, I'm about as invested in a Nuggets team as I have been in ages. I mean, yeah. What about you?
Oh, yeah. But by the way, I've said this before, I've written about this. The Carmelo era Nuggets, which on the one hand, give them a lot of credit. I mean, they picked up from the trash heap, the ashes, as you said, Adam, from the late 90s and early 00s, and they got us to the playoffs, what was it, 11 straight times, whatever it was. Yeah. So give him a lot of credit. It was just a hard team to root for. You know, Carmelo was hard to root for. Kenyon Martin was hard to root for. J.R. Smith was hard to root for. They were hard to root for. It has nothing to do with their, you know, it was just very hard to root for. They never ingrained themselves in the city. I remember I went to a Carmelo Anthony charity event that he didn't show up at, you know, whereas this team, like Jamal Murray, yeah, he was a seventh pick. He went to Kentucky, but he wasn't a first pick.
Yeah.
I think he's really embraced being here. Jokic, obviously the all-time underrated underdog story. This team is lovable, and like when you and I'll give you credit. You've been preaching this for a long time about this team. This is a great team to root for, and I like Coach Malone.
Me too.
I mean,
you think about Doug Moe, New Yorker come to Denver. Larry Brown, New Yorker come. Yeah. I just kind of feel like there's a little. Even George Carl is a Pennsylvania, East Coaster come to Denver. They all have East Coast energy. It's like a through line.
I gotta say, like I like what KCP's bringing to the team. I feel like we have like an athletic version of T.R. Dunn. and Adam, the other thing is like in the O's and the early aughts.
Yeah.
There are guys on the team that I just despise.
Right.
Like, I can't
root for. It's like, a little weird.
Like, I can't root for Ruben Patterson.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't care that he wears my jersey.
I can't root for Reggie Evans.
I can't think of a single.
The first Joker.
Yeah. I can't think of a single a single guy on this team.
Yeah.
You know, I can't root for anyway. There's not a single guy on this team that I can't root for. Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why I feel like this one will be really special. And it all starts tonight, of course. Nuggets Lakers game one. It's a special year, and I hope it goes different. Mm-hmm. I'm always set up for disappointment, so but this is the first year I'm expecting.
Let's do this. So I know you have lots of shows and lots of guests, but if we make it to the finals, let's have a reunion.
Let's do this again.
100% right? And I was even gonna say, like, if it's here at home, watch it. You know, Denver, you're gonna be at the game, Andy. You know, but Jeff, maybe get together.
Finals road game, I'm coming here.
But that's what I was gonna say, okay. Especially if they have finals. A chance to close out on the road.
If
I hope you guys are here because I want us to be together.
We gotta be together.
We gotta be together.
If I'm not a tight end, I'll be.
And by the way, so just because I'm gonna take us about my calendar and I don't want to jinx anything, but I've already put all these blocks on my calendar.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Just to be safe.
Just to be safe.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Don't forget Colorado Sports, guys. You really should be subscribed to it. Jeff is the historian of Denver Nuggets basketball, and of course, Andy Feinstein. Anything you want to plug or promote?
I want to plug her for
Denver Stiffs now over at Mile High Sports.
Yeah, so Denver Stiffs is now at Mile High Sports. It's in survival mode through the rest of the postseason, which hopefully it's a long postseason. But we are going to sit around a table together in the offseason and figure out what it should be. And
OG Denver Nuggets.
OG Denver Nuggets. But look, we are grateful to you for bringing us on today.
Yeah.
I have nothing to plug. Let's just go Nuggets. Beat the fucking Lakers. Enough already. Yes. Enough already. All right?
Let's do it.
I'll be there tonight, so I look forward to seeing people in the arena tonight.
Go Nugs. Hit that like button on the way out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.